Good morning. Great to see you. Great to be here with you to worship, to think for a few moments. I was thinking about this topic, It's Alive, our VBS, and I told someone the first thought that popped into my mind was Frankenstein. And I thought about putting a picture of Frankenstein up there and the words, It's Alive, because that comes to my mind, having seen some of that movie and hearing the creator of Frankenstein in the movie say, It's Alive. We wouldn't have a lot of confidence in that, would we? And yet, I put a picture here of what is supposed to be the resurrection of Lazarus from the tomb. And the reality is our world would not think any more about this than they would about seeing Frankenstein come alive in a movie. We don't have a good concept of what it is to be alive or to recover someone back from the dead. When I was about 10 years old, lived on a farm up in Lake County, I was playing outdoors, and the man for whom we worked came driving into our yard, and he went inside, and I later learned that he came to tell us of the death of my first cousin in Hohenwald, whose name was Jamie. Jamie would come and spend a week with us on the farm. He was so full of humor and jokes and fun. We had a ball every time he came. And then my brother, that's a year older than I, we would often spend a week with him in the big city of Hohenwald. He lived right next door to John Collins growing up. And so we would go up there and have a good time. We learned of Jamie's death. I was sick. I loved him. Closer in some ways than a brother could be. We just enjoyed being together so much. All that day, I was miserable. All the next day, getting prepared to go to Hohenwald for the visitation and the funeral following, I was miserable. Back then, going up what is now 412 over to Hohenwald, it was a three-hour drive from Ridgely up to Hohenwald. All that way, I couldn't talk, I couldn't think, my eyes were filled with tears, I was sick and sad and hurt. We pulled in the driveway there at their family's home, and here comes running out the door, Jamie. I nearly fainted. We got word 2 days ago that Jamie had drowned. And when we got to Hohenwald, we realized that Jamie had not drowned. It was his sister's husband who had drowned. It was a relief to see Jamie. Felt sad about the death of his brother-in-law. But I was so happy to see Jamie. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that or not, but when you read Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, you read the story about the prodigal son. Some of you have been touched in a real way by this story, because as the father in this story reveals, his son was dead. Was he alive physically? Yes, he was, but his son was dead. He was off in a far country, and he was wasting the substance that he had, life's possessions, with riotous living. And his father knew that he was alive physically, but the saddest thing in the world is to be dead spiritually. People in this room have been touched by that. When the son came home, the father said, bring a robe and put on him, the best one. Bring a ring and put on his finger. Put sandals on his feet and kill the fatted calf and let us eat and be merry. Some people would be saying, look, Dad, don't you realize that he wasted everything you gave him? He's been living a horrendous life, wasting his substance with prostitutes, and they would have had no part in the celebration. In fact, the first person we read about doing that was his older brother, who saw himself as righteous. I was reading again just a little while ago, Romans 3. In Romans 22, there's a great statement. Just a part of that passage says, there is no distinction. Just look around you. There's no distinction in the way that Paul was talking about in us. Some of you young, good-looking, beautiful little babies back there in baby land. Some of us are old. Wrinkled face, gray hair. Some of us don't have hair. But let me tell you this. In the only way that really matters, there is no distinction with regard to our life and death setting. Without Christ, we are all dead. There's no distinction, verse 22 says. And then verse 23 says, the reason there's no distinction is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one person in this room accountable before God, but who has sinned against God and before God. Now, what we want to do is think about living. Being alive, like that prodigal son who came home, the father said, let us eat and celebrate. Why? For this my son was dead, but is alive again. What a great blessing when it is that we can experience our children, whatever age they are, being alive in Christ. It's alive. Yesterday, here at the building, sweet woman was baptized into Christ. If the Bible is true, and we believe it is, there was a from death to life experience. She's alive. How about you? When we begin to think about life, I was awakened one day by a good friend who went to school with me at Fried Hardeman. He became a missionary immediately on the mission field, lost his faith. As far as I know, he hasn't regained his faith. He was visiting with me. We went to a professional golf tournament in Memphis, and we were talking. He knew my family a little bit because of our friendship in college, and we did some things together, and he asked me about my brother in the Air Force. He said, how's he doing? I said, wow, he's doing great. He is really succeeding. He is moving up the ladder. He's now a lieutenant colonel. He's doing this stuff in an F-4. I was telling all about his success. And my friend said, you preachers are all alike. I asked you how he's doing. You didn't say one thing to me about his spiritual life. And the reality was, if you ask my brother, he would say, I'm dead. I'm not alive to Christ. I've given up on that. I've become the prodigal. And this guy jolted me into thinking about my description of what it means to do well. You see, have some good-looking, young, athletic people, musically inclined. We've got them right here. Talented group of people. And some of the rest of the young people are scattered throughout. But they are super talented. So I say, how are you doing? Well, listen, I was in the play. I'm in the band. I am in the Honor Society. I'm in the Beta Club. I'm doing great. Are you doing great? Are you doing great? Are you doing super-duper academically and in all the stuff and dying because of a relationship with Christ? You see, and the rest of us, how are you doing? Boy, I've got a good business going. Man, I've been teaching for so many years. I have got a business. I am earning a good living. I am hiring people. I'm building. I'm doing these things. I'm doing great. Are you doing great? Are you dead? Wasting your life. That's what the prodigal is. It's a waste. It's a wasted life. It doesn't make any difference how well we are, how good looking we are, how successful we are. Can we say, I am alive? I am hoping that you will take advantage of this week's Vacation Bible School, because that's what we're studying. It's alive. And as we think about it's alive, I am pushing this button, and it didn't work. It's brand new. And I was pushing the down button. That is right, isn't it? But what we want to talk about this week is from death to life. That's what Paul was talking about in Colossians. You were dead. You were, past tense. Not dead anymore. You were dead. Thanks be to God that through our work in obedience to God and the effort of God with His grace and mercy and love and compassion and forgiveness, we can all be alive. You were dead. Why? Because you were in your trespasses and sins. Your lifestyle included the sins that you've committed and you continue to commit. And you had not had the circumcision that Paul talks about here in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 11. It is that circumcision that occurs when we are buried in water. It is the cutting away of the sins of the flesh, Paul says. That's why we come from death to life, because God, through His grace and mercy and help, cuts away spiritually our sins. You're going to, in Christ, your sins are forgiven. That's why being alive is possible. Because in Christ, when we are buried with Christ in baptism, that spiritual circumcision occurs. Our sins are cut away. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are removed. There are several passages in the Bible that teach us that through this ceremony, if you will, of baptism, we have our sins forgiven. Ezekiel 18 is a very powerful passage in the Old Testament that demonstrates to us it really doesn't matter how good or bad my dad and mom were, or how good or bad my brothers and sisters are, or how good or bad my boss or those that I work with are. It's about me. It's about whether I'm willing to be alive. It's about whether I'm willing to choose life over death. Because to be alive, I must seek the forgiveness of my sins. Because God says the soul that sins, it shall die. What we want to hear is, it's alive. Not the soul that sins, it shall die, but it's alive. And that's what Paul is telling the people in Colossae. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. How could it be that being dunked underwater makes a difference? Dunked underwater doesn't matter. I've been dunked underwater thousands of times. And that's really the truth. Those kids in Mid-South Youth Camp baptized me a bunch of times. But I'm telling you, just being dunked underwater doesn't matter. But it is when we submit to God's will in obedience to Him, the powerful working of God raised Him from the dead. And so we have our sins forgiven because God is good. God is gracious. And being alive is possible because our sins are forgiven. Next, being alive is possible because we have the great blessing of the removal of perfection. Some of you in this room think that you must be perfect. Some of you in this room, you may be one. I've heard people say, I'm just so bad, it wouldn't do me any good to be baptized. You may think, I've had such a sordid life and it's impossible to do good and be good. I can't get it done. I will not try to follow God because I can't be perfect. God removed the perfection. We don't find one passage that asks us on our own to be perfect. But you will find passage after passage after passage that God requires us to be faithful. When I was discussing this with someone, they said, well, how faithful? So what if I do this and I don't do these things? Am I still going to be all right? What if I worship God in my way, but I worship God, I'm faithful in worship, but I don't do it right. I don't get it done right. It's our responsibility to know the truth. to know how to worship, to know what to do. It's our responsibility to be who God wants us to be, to learn all that we can. And when we learn, do all that we can. Will we be perfect? We will not be. But there's not a person in this room but that you can be faithful. When I think about being faithful to God and removing the perfection, verse 14 says that he canceled the record of the debt that stood against us with its legal demands. I can't meet those legal demands. I have sinned. I won't keep the law perfectly. And God set that rule, that law aside, and gave us a better way. If that way had been perfect, we would not have needed the new way. Several passages teach us what Galatians 3 and verse 10 teaches. If we rely on the works of the law, we're under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things that are written in the book of law. No one ever got that done other than Jesus. The law wasn't intended to save us in the truest sense of the word, because the law called for us to keep it perfectly in order to be saved. The law called for it being a tutor to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female, we are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we are intended to be alive in Christ Jesus. And being alive is made possible because you and I don't have to be perfect today. We have an advocate who pleads for us, and if we acknowledge our sin and confess our sin and pray that God will forgive us, we have an advocate that will help us, and our lives can be faithful. And we can be cleaned up and made perfect, if you will, by God, but it will never happen on our own. We trust God and depend on God. And then third, being alive is possible because in Christ, God disarmed or stripped, if you will, your accusers, and that includes the devil. When we start looking at verse 14, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. One of the greatest blessings you and I can have today is that the devil, Satan, has absolutely no power over any one of us other than that which we say, here we are, to the devil. And we permit him to use us. We permit him to tempt us and lead us into sin. No power unless you or I permit it. I love Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now, today, present tense, not was when you were baptized, when you came up with your sins forgiven, but now you've gone back into sin and sin is all over you now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's alive. Let's look at the last slide, please. Now. Right now, if you are baptized into Christ, you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. It's alive. Where are you this day? If we were at a funeral service, we would be there because a body has deceased. A person has died. This morning, if we could see spiritual coffins, I wonder how many there would be in this room. I wonder how many prodigal people there would be. How many coffins would there be lined up down this way and this way and this way and this way? Wouldn't it be great if there were none, if every person chose to be a member of the body of Christ, so that we could look at this group that we call the church, the Lord's church at Henderson, Tennessee, and say, it's alive without an exception. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Our purpose in singing this song we're about to sing is to encourage anyone who is wasting life by not being baptized into Christ or by being unfaithful to God as the young man in Luke 15 was. We want you to be alive. We want you to be able to walk out of this building thinking, I am alive. And if you need to respond, please do as we stand and as we sing.